recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Fire up the projectors, turn on your TVs, and adjust your antennas. It's time for the Screen Addicts Podcast with your hosts, Chris, Steven, and Jeremy.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Screen Addicts Podcast. I know it has been a minute, but we are finally back, and we are excited to be talking what we always do, talk movies, TV, and everything that is going on. So thank you for joining us. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Chris. May the 4th be with you, Viegas.
I am Cinema Steven Skywalker Sosa.
I am Jeremy, the movie man. I'm here.
Or the Sith Lord, as we all know.
Yes.
Or the Sith Lord. That'll
work. I mean, if anybody were to ever go to the dark side, I feel Jeremy would be the first.
100%.
But I got my R2 on. He's good. Look at that.
That's true. I don't know. You know, I say Jeremy would be the first, but I'm pretty sure the power and money would draw me pretty damn fast.
That's true.
But who knows?
He would be seduced.
It's a good possibility. Well, guys, we're going to hop right into it. We're going to keep this as short as possible. I know there's a lot of things that we need to catch up on because it's been a couple weeks since we have been on the show. Mostly my fault, and I'll get into that later. But we'll start with our recently watched. Jeremy, I know your list is miles long, so I'll let you start it off, buddy.
Oh, not really. Well, this is how long we've been since we've done a show. We haven't talked about Godzilla versus Kong.
Wow.
And damn, that's been a minute.
Yeah.
Because, that was a fun movie. It came and gone, and it's brought the box office back. So, yeah, it was a fun movie. And then I watched Chaos Walking, Doug Liman's new movie with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. That sci-fi thing that you can... females can see what males are thinking and weird shit going on. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's Doug Liman. And this is another reason how long it's been. I watched Mortal Kombat.
That's a little more recent, though. I'll give you that. That just was, what, like 2 weeks ago, I think?
Yeah.
So that's a little closer.
About a week.
Yeah, and, well, Mortal Kombat. There's many different opinions about this movie, and I liked it. It had good fights, but I have one big complaint. No tournament. And that made me kind of mad. But I see where they're going with this, so I think that's going to be solved.
Did you see Mortal Kombat, Chris?
I did. And that was a big letdown for me as well, Jeremy. No tournament. But the way the movie ends, I mean, it obviously lends itself to its coming. What I don't like so much about this, I guess, the first movie of hopefully at least three, is that, yes, there was some really, really good fight scenes and some really cool things. One, you make the winner of, in the video game world, the winner kind of look weak in this movie. The winner of the first game is
Liu Kang.
He does not look as, like, I wish you would have brought the Liu Kang from the first movie into this movie, because in this movie he looks kind of like a little scrawny bitch.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, he's supposed to be the man, but I don't know. And then this is my other gripe about this movie, is you take one of the strongest characters ever to be in the game, in spoilers, everybody.
Big spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. You take one of the strongest characters ever in this game and you kill him off in the first movie, in Goro. And I'm like, okay.
Motaro's stronger.
Oh, yeah, he is. And there's definitely stronger characters. But Goro is like, if you're... Mortal Kombat OG like we are, he was the first big badass that you had to like
beat
in the game. And so but, I'm like, that's just my opinion. I get it.
Where they're going with this, they're going down the Mortal Kombat 11 video game storyline that they've created. And that has more to do with Outworld and all those characters.
How many games, like, okay, I know we all played the first at least three, us three have. How many have y'all played, like, 10, 11, any of those?
Well, the thing is that Connor, he's a huge Mortal Kombat fan, but he's played, I mean, he's played all of them. He's played Mortal Kombat 11 is the most recent one. And it was kind of funny watching it with him because he was saying that starting from 9, that this film was taking all of the storyline arcs from beginning from Mortal Kombat 9. And because I guess that's when they did that reboot, that reset when it was called Mortal Kombat, but technically it was part 9. And boy, he was just annoyed at how, and I said, well, welcome to the adaptation world, son. Like, how do you read books and comic books feel whenever the properties are completely dismissed and reworked in a way cinematically to work for other people? But once you get that understanding, then yeah, it kind of works okay, I guess. Not for him. He couldn't buy into that. And his biggest gripe was probably mine too, was this Cole Young character. Now, this Cole Young character was a brand new creation for the film. And I had to look up and see if I was missing something. Like, is this Cole Young like a hidden character in the game or something? And it turns out that the producers of the movie said, no, Cole Young was a completely original character created for the movie so that the audience could weave their way into the Mortal Kombat universe from his perspective, like a fresh perspective. And I thought, well, you could have done that with an established character. You did that with Liu Kang in the first two movies. So why not take an established character and do that with? So we were kind of trying to make sense of why that would take place. So I was like, well, maybe he's Scorpion or something reincarnated. And I mean, I know he's a descendant of Scorpion. I mean, we already said spoilers, but he doesn't have any of Scorpion's abilities, nor does he dress like Scorpion. And all of a sudden he turns into like Metallo with his gold metal. I don't know. It was really weird. And he's got those swords,
Baraka.
Yeah, it was really weird.
And I'm like, no.
And you know, like him having his character kill Goro, I was like, well, yeah, obviously they're doing that to lend him credibility as a character because you want to buy him as a serious character, like a serious hero and going into this new series. And apparently it's going to be told from his perspective from here on out. And I said, watch when Mortal Kombat 12 comes out, I guarantee you're going to see that Cole Young character in that game. But you know, all that aside, I thought it looked great. It was shot very well. It all the characters, you know, Sub-Zero could have been a little bit more blue instead of a dark blue that would only you could only see the color in like certain lights. But you know, characterization wise, I thought everybody looked pretty good. Kano was funny, and it was fine. I thought it was fine, and I just the Cole Young thing was confusing. I didn't get that, but everything else I thought was cool. I liked some of the gore. Yeah. That was key. They made that a hard R-rated movie, which is what we anticipated back in 1995, you know, in that version. But
Paul Anderson screwed us over.
Right. Well, so did the studio because they were scared to release an R-rated video game movie. But I didn't mean to cut off your recently watched. I just kind of wanted to get into that one real quick, Jeremy. And as for Godzilla versus Kong, like I can go into a whole thing.
I was about to say, we barely touched on that, and that needs to be talked about a little bit more. So,
I loved that movie. I thought it was great. That was the first movie that I had seen in the theaters, the first new movie in the theaters, and golly, it felt like 8 months, man. And not since I saw Tenet in August. So I don't know the math, whatever, but that was the first movie in the theater that I had seen, a brand new movie, not one of those like, oh, come watch an old 80s or 90s movie in the theater. But I took the kids to see it and man, they were getting into it. It was such a great movie and it's a great popcorn movie. Like seeing that in the theater was awesome. And then, of course, Sonya didn't want to go to the theater. So we watched it on HBO Max here at home. So I got to see it in both, you know, facilities. So it was yeah. I thought it was great. I thought it was so much better than King of the Monsters. King of the Monsters yeah. was good, but this one just had, I don't know. I loved the ending. I love, you know, kind of anticipated what was going to happen, but sometimes predictability is an okay thing. You know, when you think something's going to happen, you're like, well, that would be kind of cool if I saw that. And well, yeah, I thought it was,
okay.
It was
really good. So I had a debate with my cousin, Travis, about this. Mm-hmm. Who actually is the stronger monster here in this movie? Because yes, Godzilla beats Kong, mm-hmm. but then Kong beats Mechagodzilla that beat Godzilla. So who's...
I mean, I would say Godzilla, because, you know, he had to wear down Mechagodzilla first. And you know, it was funny, like Kong destroying Mechagodzilla was kind of a... He had to have that win because he already, you know, let Godzilla beat him per se. What was it, like 2-1? I guess. Yeah.
Got his ass kicked.
Yeah. He could have killed him, but he didn't. So I think by showing that level of mercy, oh man, yeah. That's, yep. Chris, you need to stop putting on these movies because I end up just zoning out and watching them. As anyone can tell in Chris's background, is my favorite Star Wars movie, Return of the Jedi. Episode 6, if you want to get technical, people. Yeah. There's a little Sarlacc pit action. But yeah, and so I don't know. I think, and seeing Mechagodzilla was amazing, dude. I thought that was so cool. Because it's funny, oh, he dude. Fit in that was so today. Neat. And you know, when that mm-hmm. originally came out, when Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla was released, it looked so hokey. But, you know, that's kind of how all of those movies were. But man, yeah. He looked great in this one. I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the Jaegers from Pacific Rim show up. Absolutely. But all right, Jeremy, what else you got, man?
Let's see here. I also watched Nobody, Bob Odenkirk's new action flick.
Yes.
That movie is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, it's as simple as plots can get. He gets his ass kicked, and then he gets some guns and goes and kicks their ass. And yes. That's that.
I mean, as one should, when you steal a kitty cat bracelet that belongs to
your mother. I know. I mean, they stole the bracelet. That's almost as offensive as killing a dog.
Did you see it, Chris? Nobody? Did you get to see
it? I haven't yet. No.
Oh, man. It's so good. It's very much in the John Wick verse. And I almost want to say they live in the same universe. So I would love to see...
Ooh.
You know, the auditor and John Wick like team up in a scenario somewhere, because it was pretty awesome. And Christopher Lloyd, dude, Christopher Lloyd shows up in this movie as Odenkirk's dad. Yeah. And RZA from Wu-Tang is his brother. It's his adopted brother. It was so crazy. I loved it. I loved everything about that movie.
Oh God, it was so awesome.
And it's so short, too. Like, it's just short yeah. and sweet, man. It's like a 90-minute gut punch of pure mayhem. And, oh, my gosh. Yeah, Chris, you check it out. Yeah. Bro. It's really good.
I'll get on. I'll probably watch it tonight after we're done.
It's a quick and easy and fun watch.
Oh, yeah.
And then, finally, I watched this indie movie called Northwood Pie. It's a little movie set in a pizza place called Northwood Pie. And it's about this guy who gets his very first job working at this pizza place. And then you find out this pizza place is kind of, it's Clerks meets, I don't know, Clerks meets some other, I don't know.
Very descriptive.
You're killing me. Which one does it meet, Jeremy?
It's weird. It's Mystic just Pizza. Mystic Pizza. It's just a simple little awesome comedy romantic thing that
romantic what?
Yeah, it's got a little romantic thing in it, and it's good for what it is, and I liked it. And the director, Jay, I'm gonna butcher his last name. I already know it.
Edgar Hoover.
No.
Oh,
he's back.
Jay Sahali. There you go.
I knew you could do it, man.
Yeah.
Nothing but faith, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. If you want to watch it, it's on Tubi.
Okay.
So,
wait, is it that that's the film that followed you on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this dude followed me on Twitter just out of the blue because that movie, their Twitter page followed me on Twitter. Okay. And so I followed it back, and then he followed me, so I followed him back.
Get him on the show, Jerome.
And then right after that, Robert Ibach, a Latin Grammy nominee, and Julia Sun, a TV host on Returns, that news show, she followed me on Twitter.
Man, so, Jeremy is a Twitter machine, man. All kinds of people are following this guy. You've got like 10,000 followers at this point. It's insane. So
I've got a director, a Grammy nominee, and a TV host.
Man, you got the whole EGOTs following you, man. You need someone from Broadway, and then you got the whole EGOT.
I know.
That's pretty cool, though. Lin-Man. Yeah. He'll have a Hamilton level musical about Jeremy. Call it Marshall. Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes even the Screen Addicts have fallen into a situation where a film has followed us, and you know, out of good faith, they wanted to sponsor us, and we talked about sponsoring their film. And I'm not going to say like any of the movies per se, but there was one instance, fellas, where we sponsored a movie, and oh man, it was pretty bad. I don't even. But what we did, I thought was pretty fair. We just kind of pointed out any positives rather than talk about the many negatives of it. So it actually worked out in your favor, Jeremy, that you actually enjoyed the movie because then you don't have to bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think one of us got like, lighting was good.
I would say seek it out and watch it. It's got some funny ass moments in it, too.
And say it again. What's it called?
Northwood Pie.
Northwood Pie. Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
And here's the thing with this too. If Jeremy is recommending kind of a movie that has a romantic plot in it, go watch it right now.
I mean, it's a little part of it. It's cute.
It's not some like kinky shit or sadomasochism, is it? Okay.
No. The dude who gets his first job there, he's attracted to like one of the girls that works there.
Okay. Mm. That's sweet. That's kind-hearted and sweet. I can go with that.
Yeah. Like it's cute.
All right. Moving on. Jerome, good list. Hey, way to end that one.
Not bad. Yeah, it's a big hitters in there.
Yeah, right? All right. So I'm along the lines of Jeremy. I don't have a lot, but it's because I was gone, and I'll talk about that again here in just a minute. But I did watch a bunch of the same movies Jeremy watched. Mortal Kombat, Godzilla versus Kong. There was another one we were talking about. God, my mind is gone today.
Nobody. Oh, you didn't see that one. No. What else did you see?
I just watched today the new Star Wars animated show that released on Disney, Bad Batch. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. An hour and 15 minutes. Batch? Yes, yeah, stupid batch. I've been catching up with my TV shows, one episode behind on Zoe's Playlist, which love that freaking show.
Steven, season two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Steven, still no? Haven't watched it yet?
It's sitting gloriously in my Peacock playlist, so okay. I just haven't pushed play yet.
And I think there's four or five people in our Facebook group that watch it too. So
yeah, it's got a good following.
Yeah. We have also almost done with Scandal. I think we are now on season 6 of Scandal. tell you what, man, still really do not like Olivia Pope right now at this moment in time. She just gets on my nerves. She's like the main character of this show, and I'm like, oh, I can't stand you. Ugh. Anyway, and then I started a new show as well. Just, you know, when you're in bed at night and you want something to watch, but not necessarily something that you have to pay attention to, right? So I started this show called The American Housewife. It is a comedy show. I think there's 5 seasons out right now. And holy crap, dude, is it funny? It's got this kind of King of Queens vibe to it a little bit. But this lady from Florida, when she...
Is it Katie Moxon? Katie Moxon or something?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. And so she's from Florida, and she moves into this she comes from like trailer trash, and then they moved into this super nice neighborhood and stuff. And let me tell you, the first thing that hooked me in this show was some of the first lines in this show. She goes, "Damn, Fat Pam is moving out. That's going to make me the fattest housewife in the neighborhood now." Oh, I was like, oh, shit. I said, that's my jam right there. You call somebody Fat Pam, I'm all in already. So, yeah, we've been watching that one. No.
Katie, oh, great. Yoda's about to die, too.
Oh, no. I knew you were going to say something.
Well, Katie Mixon, she was in Eastbound and Down. She played his wife, and she's hilarious, man. She's funny, like, Southern trash character down pat, man. And yeah. It sounds like a very My Name is Earl esque, because My Name is Earl made white trash look like an art form. It's so funny. But yeah, American Housewife. I've seen that advertised. It looked funny.
It's pretty damn funny. And like I said, it's one of those shows to where you can have it on in the background while you're like cleaning up dinner or folding laundry or whatever. You don't have to pay attention. It's just there. Mm-hmm. So that one's been fun. We've watched a lot of Star Wars lately. I watched my favorite Star Wars movie right to this date is Rogue One. So I've watched it a couple times leading up to today. Man, it is so damn good. So good. And just the fact that everybody dies.
yeah, they do.
I love that in it. I love the fact that they do that. Oh, so good.
Anyway. You know, the one thing about Rogue One, that's so effective is, like what you're saying, is it presented a sense of dread and doom and gloom the way that Revenge of the Sith was supposed to do. Revenge of the Sith was supposed to leave you on this just dour note of the Jedi fallen and everything in disarray and the Empire rising to prominence. And you never really got a sense of that dread because Obi-Wan essentially defeats Anakin Skywalker and he takes Luke and Leia off to their respective areas. And, you know, but Rogue One, it essentially is a better prequel than all of the previous prequels, you know, and I think it's great how they showcase, you know, Darth Vader for one. His scenes in those movies are a better prequelized version of the character than you got to see him in the episodes 1 through 3. And yeah, and the fact that everybody dies is just, well, yeah, because, you know, that how are they supposed to survive? They're a throwaway line in A New Hope. So it's kind of like, where would they be in the rest of the movies if they didn't survive? And I heard that Cassian Andor has a new show coming out, though. Gabriel Luna's character, he's got his own show coming out. Clearly, it's a prequel because he's dead as shit.
Yeah.
I guess it's showing him as a bounty hunter or something, which will be cool, you know. And
something like that, yeah.
But yeah, that's a good... I loved Rogue One.
Well, I have one more show to talk about, but that's going to lead us into the next thing. So, Steven, go ahead and do your thing, and then after you're done, I'll...
Oh, buddy.
I'll take a step from there.
It's been like 2 years since we recorded, so I'm going to... I literally had like 43 things written down. 43! I trimmed it down. Don't worry. I trimmed it down. And Jeremy, for all the things that you've covered, was a big chunk of it, which is good. I, much like yourself, watched Tom Holland in another movie called Cherry. The Russo brothers decided to make a movie about a young man who goes into the army and becomes addicted to drugs. It's a good movie. I can't watch a lot of those, man. They bum me out, but it was a really great performance. Started watching some of the Oscar movies because, you know, in our absence, the Oscars took place, and it was okay, I guess. I watched all the contenders except for Minari. I never got around to watching Minari, but Menard dog, and watched all of those except for that. The Father, loved The Father. I thought that film was absolutely fantastic. Anthony Hopkins, as much controversy was coming around the fact that Chadwick Boseman didn't win the Oscar, I've got to tell you one thing. He didn't deserve the Oscar. Anthony Hopkins deserved that Oscar. That was one of the best performances I've seen in a very long time. It was, did y'all see The Father by any chance?
No.
Well, basically, he's an old man who has dementia and Alzheimer's, and you're basically seeing it from his perspective. And so characters walk into the room that you don't know because you're like him. You don't know what's going on, and you get this sense of loss. And his performance in that was just absolutely just amazing, and I felt like he truly deserved that Oscar. Much like voice actor of Sonic the Hedgehog in the Sonic the Hedgehog live action movie deserved an Oscar, because I've got to tell you, you're talking about video game movies. That Sonic the Hedgehog was pretty damn good. I thought it was really good. I was surprised.
Yes, I loved it.
I thought it was really, really good. And I was like, wow. So Sega is beating Nintendo to the punch at making better video game movie adaptations. But I thought that one was really well done. A movie that was completely not well done was Cats. I sent you guys pictures of me and Sonya watching Cats.
Ugh.
And holy cow. If anybody ever wants to have a movie night where they want to watch a movie that's complete and utter, well, cat shit in this case, this is your movie to watch. It was so weird. And just the way that they size the characters down, and all the cats are walking on two legs. So I'm thinking, well, if they're sized to scale, wouldn't they be walking on all fours? Like, what's going on here? It was just such a weird movie. The music was still good because that didn't change. But yeah, and Idris Elba was kind of cool in that. And Idris Elba was actually really cool in another movie on Netflix that I watched, The Concrete Cowboys, where it had these black cowboys in like an urban area, but they had like these little weird farm areas in the middle of the city. It was such a weird movie, but it was a really good movie. And apparently it was a true story, but I'm going to move away from that. And I will talk about some of the television series, cause I've been watching a lot of TV. And one thing, The Challenge, Double Agents on MTV, got back into that because that Double Agent show is awesome. And they just released on Paramount Plus the All-Stars, from characters from like 20, 25 years ago came back to compete. It's crazy, but it's really good. So if you have Paramount Plus, I recommend that. Started Invincible on Prime. Jeremy, you watched Invincible, right? The Robert Kirkman,
the first episode.
Oh my god, dude. I just finished the finale yesterday. It is so damn good. It's one of the best series on TV, regardless of its animation and stuff. But yeah, Invincible, I highly recommend. The Falcon and Winter Soldier, we hadn't had a chance to talk about any of those, and they were good. They held up.
I haven't even started it.
Yeah, man, it's good. It's really good. I won't say anything about it. We'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But what about the Mighty Ducks? Game Changers.
Hey, I have started that.
It's good.
It is actually really good.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying the Mighty Ducks TV series. It's funny because Sonya pointed out something to me while we were watching it, and I can't unsee it. She was like, man, Emilio Estevez is really phoning this performance in. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I start watching it, and I'm like, yeah, his acting is really bad in that. And he doesn't have to do hardly anything, but It is what it is.
I'll tell you what, though, man. Lauren Graham,
mm-hmm.
like, she was born to play a mom role.
Yeah.
Like, that is the only thing you will ever see her play because she is so damn good at it.
Yeah, she is. This is like her third or fourth time playing one. And yeah. I mean, it works. If it works, it works, you know. But yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stop on the Mighty Ducks. We'll leave it on that one because I feel like that's a high note. So yeah. But if you haven't watched the Mighty Ducks on Disney Plus, man, it's really great to watch with your kids. And it's, mm-hmm. I think it's good. If you're a fan of the series, it pays enough nostalgia, especially the last episode, man. It was really well, and we had, of course, look to see why Charlie wasn't on the series, you know, played by Joshua Jackson, because that's the main duck, you know, that's right. from his perspective in all of them. And it turns out that Stephen Brill, the original creator and showrunner, was saying that they wanted to include him, but he lives in Canada, and he couldn't come for filming due to COVID. So he was, like, trying to write something up for season two, which it did get renewed, by the way. So hopefully we'll see Joshua Jackson back in there, and
that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be good. So yeah, Chris, what was your? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I think maybe made it better. Like, so you don't focus so much on Charlie. If he comes back next season, awesome. But you know, lay the groundwork for your new characters here. Let us get used to them, and then move on, and have the cameos. You know. So yeah. I like it. Anyway, so my last thing that I have watched this week was American Idol. So American Idol this week, it's Disney week. Okay.
Okay.
and let me tell you, one of the reasons we haven't been we haven't done a show in a while is because it took the family to vacation and we went to Disney World. And while in Disney World, we went to Hollywood Studios. And the day that we were there, we were getting on this Buzz Lightyear ride. And then out of the corner of our eye, this huge-ass camera crew just comes walking up and just takes over this ride, okay? And we're like, ooh, I wonder what they're filming. That's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, we see everybody in these American Idol shirts. Hmm. And Tasha's a huge fan of American Idol. And so she starts freaking out. So we've been in line for this ride for probably 20 minutes. And, oh, she starts freaking out. Oh, who's here? Who's here? Who's it? By the time we get to the front of the line and it's our turn, we actually get to ride on the ride with the American Idol contestant.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So they're filming her on the ride with her family because it was a surprise that her family showed up. And they're filming her on the ride and we're on the ride as well. So I'm like, oh shit, we may be able to get on TV. Act stupid. So they make sure I put me on there. So I'm in there like, whoa. I'm like over exaggerating everything.
Oh my God.
I'm like, yeah.
Did it work? To see that?
No. it did not. We did not make the cut. We got
they cut your ass the ass out, didn't they?
The floor, man.
He tried turning it into the American Viegases.
Yeah, I sure did.
Just but, have Tasha sing. Just have her sing while she was on the ride.
So, and then after the ride, okay, we all get off at the same time after the ride. And so the director, producers, whatever, they're doing their thing. And the contestant that's there is Casey Bishop. It's one of Tasha's favorites by chance.
Is she from a this current season? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's top nine now. Mm-hmm. So Tasha goes up to her after the ride, right?
Oh shit.
And goes up close to her and I'm taking a picture, right? Because I'm like, oh, she's about to get hit or something. I already know.
She's slap her.
You're going to elbow.
So she goes up to her and is all like, oh, my God, you're one of my favorites. And as soon as she says favorites, the security that's around this girl throws her big arm in front of Tasha and just whack. ma'am, we have to social distance, and like pushes Tasha back, and Tasha's like, I'm sorry.
It serves her ass right. I wish you would have tackled her.
I wish I would have got it on film. Like,
that would have been great.
Oh man, but I was like, I knew that was gonna happen, and I should have been ready, but I was just too focused on when it was gonna happen. But man.
And just think, the forearm could have just whacked her right in the head.
Oh yeah, because she's short enough, and everybody that just puts their arm out is gonna just knock her in the face. So, but it was, and I'll have to share the picture on the page or something. But it was awesome, because the picture, you'll see the guy, he has his arm like this, and Tasha's like. It's great, man.
It's the happiest place on earth, Chris.
Hey, it made her happy, even though she got like thwacked back to get back. So, but it, man, I'll tell you, I've been waiting for this trip for at least 20 plus years to take this trip. I got screwed out of it when I was young, because the year that my mom was going to take me, they found out they were pregnant with my sister. So my sister has screwed up my life from the beginning.
Shout out to Sarah.
Yeah. But so, you know, I've waited forever to take this Disney trip, man. And it is, I tell you what, it is, can't put into words exactly how you feel when you get there. It is an experience and a feeling that you cannot even imagine if you've never been. And it is really weird, because and you think, oh, I'm a dude. Or you'll see guys there, like big burly, big longer beards than me. You know, they have the matching family shirts on, and they're just look like big biker dudes, but they're having a time of their life while they're there. You know, they look like they're kids again and stuff. And I've seen pictures and I've seen video of that's the way people act. I'm like, it really can't be like that. Like, I'm just going to be able to walk around. I'm going to have a smile on my face. It's going to be happy, but I'm too cool, right? No, man, you walk into that place and that place just transforms you. And it's so freaking amazing. And especially for nerds like us, when you first walk through this tunnel to go to Galaxy's Edge, and it opens up, and it's the whole place is just molded after Batuu, and there's the mountains and the cliffs and the trees, and everything looks like, it's just like, oh my God, you get so freaking giddy, and you're like, this is freaking amazing. The rides. The first ride we went on that day was the Smuggler's Run, where you get to actually sit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And the front two, there's only four people that can fit in this ride. So the front two are the pilots, and the back two are the gunners. Okay, so me and Nolan are the gunners. All we have to do is push a button, and it just shoots Maddox and Maddox and Tasha are up front doing the pilot, and it looks so much fun. And if you ever, like, who doesn't ever want to feel like they're going into a hyperdrive, and you see the, you know, that's what you feel like when it's snowing and you're driving fast, you know? But when you actually get to sit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and see those stars streaking by, you lose it. And I wept a little bit. I had to wipe it off real quick so nobody else saw it. It's something that I will cherish forever. And I'm glad I got to wait to experience this for the first time with my kids.
Sure.
I think it made it that much more special that I got to experience it with them and see the joy on their faces. Made it even better than if I were to go when I was young.
Well,
leading,
man,
into Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to talk about today, which is May the 4th. You know, May the 4th be with you has become this you know, kind of national holiday of celebrating all things Star Wars. You know, you've got Disney over there releasing new information about Star Wars. Like you said, The Bad Batch came out today, and it's just, it's become such a thing that I love how the world has really embraced this type of science fiction, you know, popular culture and stuff, and how it's become part of the norm rather than a secluded few get to discuss these science fiction films. And I think that it's great because now more people get exposed to it, more people get to discuss them, and getting to something like that is pretty incredible, you know. And it's what's so incredible about it too is that people who don't even like Star Wars will go and be blown away by it, because, you know, Disney, they spare no expense on production value and on things like that. And when they spent a good, you know, chunk of change acquiring the rights to Star Wars, this is what they do with it, because you know that it's at least in good hands in this regard. I know that the movies weren't really what people wanted them to be, but you know, you get to still experience stuff like that, and that's awesome, you know, and get to share that with your kids. And you do know that next you have to go to Universal Studios, right? Because
Harry Potter world. Yeah,
dude, it's amazing. But yeah, but Disney. So, okay. So what was your favorite ride you rode at Disney, Chris?
So my favorite ride would have to be Splash Mountain.
Okay.
Was freaking amazing. But the Star Wars ride called Rise of the Resistance is, I can't even call it a ride, because it's more of an experience that they put you in the scene of the movie.
Yeah, and it's a story, isn't it?
Yes. Like, and it's not like you just sit down in a roller coaster type cart and then you go through. No, you start off with, like, you're a prisoner, and they walk you through these things, and you go to a jail cell, and then you break out, and then you have to go over here, and then you get into this cart that's, like, magnetized to the floor that takes you everywhere, because there's no tracks anywhere, you know? And so it's spinning you, and you're seeing Kylo Ren trying to cut you and all sorts of shit. And you see the AT-AT walkers, and then you, oh shit, this is where I kind of screamed like a girl. So they load you into this escape pod, and then, like, you don't realize that they're about to drop you like a roller coaster, because, well, you have to drop out of the escape pod to get back to down to Batuu, you know. So all you see, all of a sudden, like, everything goes black, and then the screen turns on, where the screen looks like the window is open, and then it just, like a roller coaster, drops you, and you're like, oh shit. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I screamed a little bit because I wasn't expecting it, and you know, and it's a ride well worth doing whatever you have to do to get off, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I hear good things about it. I still haven't been able to go. We were going to go for Sonya's birthday, but we went Universal instead because, you know, she hadn't seen Harry Potter. And I mean, I feel personally, for me, like, Universal Studios was more akin to what I love. You know, and I do agree, though, with Disney, though, because, you know, we all grew up watching Disney cartoons. Who didn't? And that familiarity when you're walking through that park is just very, it really channels those emotions. And it's a very true thing. Like, it's hard to understand until you've been there. But, you know, it's funny, too, because Disney specializes in those kinds of rides like you're talking about. You know, we kind of grew up in areas like Six Flags and Wonderland, where it's thrill park. You know, thrill rides, roller coasters and stuff. And while those are fun, you go to somewhere like Disney or Universal and you see these rides that are like, man, this is half an attraction, half a roller coaster, you know, and it's pretty neat.
Okay. Yeah. So Star Wars, obviously, you know, like Steven was saying, you know, this thing has, I just sent them the picture of Tasha getting backed up.
I'm going to make that my wallpaper.
Oh man, it was hilarious. So Star Wars taking over, dude. this is where it hurts me. Like, we were a time before this May the 4th thing was a thing, right? Why didn't we think of this shit?
It's really always been a thing.
Well, I know what you're saying, Chris. Like, this popular notion where you have, like, celebrities and mm-hmm. this, like, overwhelming, like, for example, I went to a May the 4th be with you scavenger hunt today downtown in Panama City. A place like Panama yeah. City isn't really the mecca for Star yeah. Wars lore. So to have something like that, this event kinda take weird. Place. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not weird. I think it's great because, like, that's what Chris mm-hmm. is saying is, like, you know, I go to an event like that here because people are finally embracing this whole concept of, yeah. oh, well, this is really great. And it doesn't make sense because Star Wars has been popular ever since it came out in 1977. Yes. So I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's really good.
Okay. So question for you two, Star Wars. What, not just character. I don't want to say just character because most of the time they're the same as the world. What is your favorite creature from the Star Wars franchise?
Creature?
Yes. Oh, wow. Like these little bastards right here in the back.
Oh, the Ewoks? The Ewoks are my favorite.
You just want me to say it, don't you?
Oh, I know what he's going to say. Go for it, Jeremy.
You just want me to do it, don't you?
Oh, duh.
He's going to show you.
Yeah,
that porg right there.
And you know, Jeremy, we're part of the old school contingency of Star Wars. So for you to pull something from the recent trilogy is pretty impressive. That's how much he bonded to him.
I love me a little damn porg.
So does Chewbacca, but his is roasted over a fire. Chewie wanted to
eat it.
You needed some of your barbecue sauce, Chris. But I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I think it's generationally what you grow up with is what you kind of... Because when we were kids, mm-hmm. Ewoks were so cool and cute, but adults thought they were dumb and childish. Well, when we're in high school and college, like you see something like Jar Jar Binks, the Gungans... He's the most annoying character in Star Wars history, but then you have little kids that think he's funny, so then they'll grow up and think, oh, well, I like Jar Jar Binks, and I'm like, well, I don't like you, but I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's whatever you grow up with is kind of what, I mean, I guess Yoda, does Yoda count as a creature? Because if so, I mean, yeah, he's definitely my favorite. Baby Yoda. You know, baby Yoda.
His name is Grogu. Get it right.
Grogu, sorry. Grogu. You're right. Grogu, yeah. I mean, everybody loves Grogu. They don't love that name, but they love him.
No, because they still call him, like, Baby everybody Yoda. I talk to still yeah. calls him Baby Yoda.
Right.
He is and will always be Baby Yoda.
All right, I got one for you guys. What's your favorite lightsaber?
Mace Windu's.
Okay, purple. That's sweet.
Darth Maul's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. I like Luke Skywalker's Green Jedi lightsaber, personally. But, man, Jeremy, I will never forget. I can't believe they showed it in the trailer. It kind of spoiled it. But in the trailer, when you first saw Darth Maul whip out the double-ended lightsaber, I was just... And I feel bad for Kylo Ren. Like, they're trying to make his a broadsword. And it just was not half as cool. And
no.
I mean, that double-ended lightsaber was so badass. And the way he used it, too, was just even more impressive. But
dude, I tell you whose lightsabers are really badass, too. And live-action ones at that is Ahsoka Tano's.
Oh, yeah. Hers is cool.
Oh, man. When just that whole character is badass.
Did y'all
watch the animated show where she was introduced and brought in?
I started the Clone Wars because of... I never watched. I watched the movie, but I never watched the series. And yeah, I saw the movie, and I was familiar with her as far as being like Anakin's Padawan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there was some familiarity with her character, but not to the extent of what makes people love her so much. Because, like I said, I just get the movie, and she does some cool stuff in it, but nothing that really establishes her as this great character of lore, you know, like she is. But
no, man, once you get, like, I don't know, it was 3-4 years ago, I think, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I got hooked into it like big time. And I binged the shit out of it.
The series?
Yeah. And man, her character, the way she evolves and everything like that they follow her arc through is just so freaking awesome. And so when she showed up in The Mandalorian as a live action and then they casted her perfectly, it was just like, oh, so freaking badass.
So is her character in The Mandalorian a follow-up to the events from the Clone Wars, right? Well, yes. I guess it would have to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because she's older and she's like past the Padawan phase and onto her own stuff. And like, I want them to continue that. Like, and I think they said we are going to get her own spinoff show, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
Ahsoka.
That'll be good.
It's going to be badass. So, okay. Right. I know Steven has said what his favorite Star Wars movie is. I've said mine. Jeremy, what is yours?
Empire.
Of course it is. It's you doom and gloom. Of course. I thought you liked Jedi.
I like Jedi, but I like Empire better.
Man, what a what does Kevin Smith say? A series of down endings.
Those fucking Ewoks.
Well, Ewoks are in Jedi. Oh, that's why you don't like
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But you like porgs. It doesn't make sense.
I love porgs. The Ewoks are stupid. I love porgs.
Wicket, played by Warwick Davis, would rip a porg in half, man.
Oh, absolutely.
He would.
But yeah, Empire, man. I remember growing up, I watched the first one a couple of times, but I had 2 and 3 pretty much going at on rotation, man. And
yeah.
I'll never forget Empire. It's funny because I think I watched those before I watched the first one. It was really weird. But man, I just to imagine the shock of people, because you know it was spoiled for me a long time ago before like the whole Luke, you know, Darth Vader being Luke's father. Spoilers for anyone who didn't know this. And but just the whole, not that one. That's not his. Not that's that something one. Else. That's the biggest disaster. And you know, I people were always like saying they should remake the last three. I was like, they should remake the prequels and give like a proper Darth Vader run, you know, as far as because his whole evolution into evil made no sense. It just happened because it was supposed to. I don't know. That was just kind of lazy filmmaking, in my opinion. But but Empire, man, it was so good. It was so good.
You think this next trilogy is going to be what level do you think? Is it going to be original trilogy level or prequel level or new? Like, all three of them are different in their aspects. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested in just how do you think these new ones are going to, because they've heard all the bullshit.
I would hope they've learned their lesson and have one filmmaker make all three.
Yeah.
That would be a revolution.
Ooh, what if Zack Snyder did it?
Oh, that would be a bad idea.
I mean, they did poach what's her name? Patty Jenkins from Wonder Woman to do the Rogue Squadron stuff. So it wouldn't be too far off. You know, I don't think that Zack Snyder is the, in the proper light to, you know, maybe that's the kind of change you need. I think the biggest problem with the new trilogy was the fact that given Rian Johnson full carte blanche to do whatever he wanted with the show or with the sequel was a huge mistake. You can't do that. And because he created something that it was almost so impossible to follow up because of just the way that he opened up these doors and making so many things relevant. So then they had to like force themselves into a position where they had to try and like tie all the loose ends he left off in that sequel. And I mean, I know I'm probably in the minority in this, but I actually liked Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. I mean, yeah, the whole Skywalker, Rey Skywalker, that was a little hokey, but
Skywalker was dog shit. But okay.
I didn't dislike it. I didn't dislike it any more than like Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones. You know, I thought it was
Fine. It was worse than those.
Are you serious? You thought it was worse than Attack of the Clones? Come on, man.
No.
It's bad. It's terrible.
I give it to you that it's bad, but it is not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, a lot of people didn't like it. I get it. I just...
Ray Palpatine. A Palpatine wins. Fuck that. Yeah.
Well, no. But... She's not a bad Palpatine, Jeremy.
She's still a fucking Palpatine.
Well, you know, someone who's not a Skywalker. Someone whose favorite Star Wars movie being Empire Strikes Back, when the Empire literally wins, you would think you would embrace that the fact round. That a Palpatine.
But that you round. Know they lose in the end. That round they win.
So you're saying Rey is a bad guy, no matter what. Even though she's good, you're saying she's a bad guy because of her family lineage. Yeah, her lineage.
She is a Palpatine by blood. So therefore,
she didn't ask for that.
It doesn't matter. She'll turn that to eventually. She'll now be that eventually.
She's going to be the new Vader, bro.
I mean, yeah. That would make sense, you know, if she did. If she became evil, I know they're not going to be using any of these.
Oh, no, they're done.
But, I mean, if Rey showed up to be an evil Palpatine, I would be okay with it, you know, because that makes sense. You know,
here's the thing, too. Speaking of directors for these new things, they have the magician in their pocket.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. I know exactly where
they have Favreau there.
Right.
Use the shit out of him.
The Mandalorian is incredible Star Wars storytelling. It is so good. The fact that those two, him and Dave Filoni, have not been tapped to just say, okay, let's just have these guys do the new series, the new trilogy, and you know what? Give them everything they want. Let them be creative control because they get it. They get it 100% because Favreau does have creative control over the Mandalorian, you know, but someone like Rian Johnson, I was thinking to myself, okay, Looper was cool, but that doesn't really designate him as someone who should be directing the entire, you know, the stake of this franchise on his shoulders. Like really the Brothers Bloom was good, but it's not even sci-fi. I don't know.
You know why? Favreau hasn't been granted the movies.
Why?
Kathleen Kennedy.
I thought you were going to say
Turner.
She hates Favreau.
Why?
For how successful The Mandalorian is and how hated her trilogy is.
Well, that's her damn fault. Like, she should have put people in place to make sure that the runs didn't happen. And I thought you were going to say because he's a Palpatine.
No, because there's an internal civil war happening at Lucasfilm. There's the Kathleen Kennedy team and there's the Favreau team, and they are going at it. They hate each other.
That really helps for collaboration, doesn't it? Let's just, you know, fight over stupid shit and, you know, put the risk and reputation of the greatest science fiction franchise in history on the line.
Yeah, no, let's not join forces and make this better than anything ever made. Let's not do that.
I side with Kathleen Kennedy because I thought The Rise of Skywalker was better than The Mandalorian, okay? I'm just kidding.
What really pissed her off was the Luke Skywalker cameo.
Well, yeah, because he's dipping into her avenue there. You know, it's like, and because they mishandled Luke Skywalker, you had my favorite character. You want to talk about characters in Star Wars? Luke Skywalker is my favorite. He always has been. So when I see what happens to him in Last Jedi, I'm like, whoa, that's the most anticlimactic resolution to one of the most important characters in the franchise I've ever seen. And then in part three, he comes back to tell Rey, oh yeah, forget everything I said as a Force ghost. I'm like, oh my God, this is so stupid. Okay, yeah, that was pretty bad. That was bad. Now that I'm thinking about it, that was so dumb. And the fact that Favreau, in the span of a 3-minute action sequence, like revitalized hope for that character. That he's the new hope is Favreau. Because that Skywalker scene in the Mandalorian season finale is probably one of the coolest scenes in any Star Wars, any property. That was amazing, man. I watched it all the time.
It is right there to the ending of Rogue One, Vader scene.
That parallel is incredible. And I guess that's what she's also probably pissed about, that he's using the parallels of, you know, Luke going down the hall, wiping out a corridor of people, you know, or robots in this case. But I mean, I get it. But he's basically like, oh, look what you did to my favorite character. I'll show you how to use Luke Skywalker. And I mean, I'm sorry if he did a better job, but that's just the way it is. Yeah. So I thought she got replaced from Lucasfilm. Is she still
She did too.
No, she's still there.
Really?
They haven't got rid of her yet.
I don't know. I thought you might want to check that, because I thought she had been removed from her chair.
No, she's still there.
That's so stupid. But you know she's not going anywhere. That's Spielberg's like right hand lady, man. She's been there for Spielberg since. Oh man, I can't even remember.
And yeah, she wants to take over Lucasfilm and make it hers.
Hmm.
Yep, so she's still the current president.
God, that's crazy, man. Well, all right. So I guess the power struggle continues, much like the Empire versus the Rebel Alliance.
And
that's why there's an internal civil war happening at Lucasfilm right now.
That sounds like a fun time.
Tickle, tickle. Oh, sorry. I was trying to play with the Ewoks on the TV.
Now you're just fingering an X-Wing.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, I think that's going to do it for the night. Oh, yeah. Before we sign off here, anything from anybody?
No. Steven Spielberg released the first trailer to the West Side Story musical he's doing. It looks phenomenal because, you know, Spielberg. Speaking of Spielberg.
Are you not biased a little bit on that, or does it really look phenomenal?
No, I am not biased. This is coming from a open perspective of of course I am. I wouldn't be excited about a West Side Story remake if it was anybody else. It does look good though.
All right. Jeremy, anything?
No, I'm good.
Oh, I have one thing. I have one thing to say to you, Dallas Cowboy fans.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we snagged Sertain from y'all's ass, and I was so happy. I don't even care if he's good or not. Just the fact that y'all wanted him and we got him, that makes me happy.
It sounds about right, you know, for the Cowboys managerial department.
I mean, that's the draft.
And if it happens, if Aaron Rodgers comes to Denver, we going to the Super Bowl.
Super
Bowl.
Who's your coach again?
It don't matter. You don't give a shit.
Yeah, it does. Who's your coach again?
Vic Fangio. Let him play with the defense like he does. And Brett Favre will take over the offense. He's be like, coach, just let me call the plays in the huddle. Don't you worry about it. I'll make you look good. There's about to be
an intergalactic civil war going on right now. Way to go, Chris.
It's like Brett Favre wanted out of Green Bay because they wouldn't do anything on the offense. And if he goes to Denver,
he's going to have full control of the offense.
Jeremy,
he's going to have full control.
For your birthday this year, I'm going to send you a Cowboys jersey with Palpatine written on the back. That'd be perfect.
And Jerry Jones' face on the front.
That'll be on the helmet. I'm surprised Jerry Jones doesn't replace the star with his head on their helmet.
That's next.
Right.
That's all I wanted to say about that. So anyway, guys, thank you for joining us, whether it was listening on the podcast or if you were joining us live on our Facebook Live like we always do. We really appreciate you being here. And if you are listening on any podcast app, go ahead and right now hit that subscribe button. We really, really appreciate that. And then since you're there, go ahead and leave us a review. Five star would be great, but we understand if Steven sucks that bad, two stars will be all right. As long as it's not one. No, but serious, five stars would be great. It just helps us get seen a little bit more in searches and stuff like that in podcast apps. Also, if you are on any of the social medias, we are out there as well, Facebook and Instagram. All you have to do is search the Screen Addicts Podcast and you'll find us. On Facebook, we also have a Facebook group called the Screen Addicts Fanatics. Go find that, and that's usually where we are most active, sharing trailers and movie news and all sorts of funny stuff, memes. That Facebook group page is pretty much your one-stop shop for any movie or TV-related memes. They are all over the place on that page. And then also, if you are on Twitter, find us there. We are Screen_Addicts, and Addicts is spelled A-D-D-I-C-S. And then while you're there, apparently we have a Twitter universe celebrity, Jeremy. Follow him. Get him all the clout that you can, because he is amazing and he's the best Twitter person ever. Jeremy, Jeremy, let the people know what that Twitter handle is, dude.
At Movie Man Marsh. And if you find me in my bio, there is the link to the Screen Addicts page, and follow that one too.
And then go over to Instagram and follow the Cinema Steve. If you ever wanted to see some amazing Instagram stories, this man can put out some doozies every now and then. So follow him. Cinema Steve, is that your IG handle, Cinema Steve?
Well, yeah, at @Cinema_Steven.
Awesome. But so follow those guys. Give them some love. Give the Screen Addicts social medium some love as well. And hopefully, we won't take as long to come back for our next episode. If you have any topic ideas that you would love for us to talk about, or if there's anything, like, drop us a line in Messenger on our Screen Addicts page. We will take all topics under consideration, and we would love to hear from you. So, as for me, that is it. Good night.
Adios, amigos, and may the force be with you.
May the fourth be with you, and good evening.
This is the way. This is the May.
Thank you for listening to the Screen Addicts Podcast.